Iambic Audiobooks presents Collapse of the Veil by Alison Lohans, read by Arielle Lipshaw. Part 1. Summer of the Grasshopper. Chapter 1. He was crying again. Katie Neville sucked in a sharp breath. It was tempting to do exactly what Tyler did, lie there squalling until someone took care of you. But Tyler was only 9 months old and didn't know any better. It was a too hot, too dry summer, with dust blowing everywhere and grasshoppers taking over the earth, and Katie was sick of it. She was tired of being a mother, aged 15 and a half, of the extra weight gained during her pregnancy that just wouldn't go away, of generic hair that was no particular color, and skin that only burned, of not fitting in anymore. Worst of all was the loneliness. The aching emptiness. At the moment, Tyler was in the playpen, wearing only a diaper. His face was red, his soft tummy prickly with rash. "You poor kid," she murmured, stroking the moist, fine hair back from his forehead. Tyler's blue eyes, so like Ryan's, looked directly at her. Tears glistened on his cheeks, smudged in dust that had blown through the screens. Katie picked him up and wiped his face with her t-shirt. Tyler squirmed. "Katie," her mother called from the kitchen, where the computer keys shot staccato clicks into the air. "What?" She went to see what Mona wanted. Her mother glanced at her, still gripped in the thrall of the story she was writing. Resentment smoldered. Mona Carrington had rich auburn hair and green eyes and elegant cheekbones in a slim face. Nothing no-name generic about her. Any time they went places together, men watched her mother. It embarrassed Katie. After the divorce, Mona had quickly resumed her maiden name. "That man's coming to start on the deck." Keys continued tapping. "I have to mail this. If he comes when I'm out, you'll know what's going on. Call me on my cell if..." Once again, her mother was lost to her story. Katie sighed. "Yes, mother." She scowled at the wall calendar photo of turbulent storm clouds dwarfing a pale wheat field. "You don't need to treat me like I'm 10, Mom." The thought burst out so strongly that she half expected her mother to look up with a glare. According to Mona, if she was old enough to have a baby and keep him, she was old enough to be responsible. Also, according to her mother, she never did anything right. Mona sacrificed precious work hours to babysit so Katie could stay in school. She was supposed to be grateful. "Is there any Kool-Aid?" Her younger brother Corey tramped in, upper torso shiny with sweat. His legs and bare feet were caked with dust. The keyboard kept clicking. "I have no idea." Corey hoisted himself onto the counter, where he rummaged through the cupboards. "Can you? I have a deadline." Their mother's voice snapped with the heat. "I can't do 5 things at once." "I know, I know." Corey scratched his head, loosing a cloud of dust. Katie watched it sift onto the burners of the stove. "I found some, okay?"
"Fine."
The keys churned up a fury. Katie scowled at her 9-year-old brother. Corey shared her generic hair color but had Mona's fine bone structure. "Don't lick the Kool-Aid, and wash your hands. Think we want to drink dirt?" Corey lifted his face from the foil packet. His tongue was coated with purple granules. "Who says you're getting any?" In Katie's arms, Tyler strained, grunting. A pungent diaper odor clotted the air.
"Ew!"
Corey collapsed on the floor, choking dramatically. Katie sighed and went upstairs with her baby. During the summer, Corey's doctor took him off the medication for his ADHD. She wished it were winter, and suspected her mother did, too. Her brother's hyperactivity drove them both crazy. The bathroom was stifling. She spread the curtains wide and removed Tyler's repugnant diaper. "At least you don't talk back," she murmured, washing him, then massaging zinc ointment onto his heat-rashed bottom. She nudged her nose against his, and Tyler laughed out loud. Katie danced him into the bedroom they shared. None of the kids knew this part of her life. They'd never felt the rush of love that could transform your whole awareness, or the murky cloud of fatigue from getting up night after night as crying penetrated your dreams. having to be gentle even when you didn't feel like it, trying to understand a tiny person who couldn't talk or reason. Bitterness soured her gut. Ryan had never seen his own son, had done like birds in the fall as soon as she told him she was pregnant. Except, birds come back. "He doesn't deserve you," she said to Tyler as she opened a package of teething biscuits. One went into Tyler's hand, three others were for herself. She kissed his plump cheek. "Come on, let's go in the wading pool." Munching biscuits, she smeared her baby with sunscreen and then pulled on her bathing suit, scowling at the way her stomach sagged. She'd die if anybody saw her. Having a baby made all the difference in the world. "I'm the same me," she cried out to nobody. Just once it would be heaven to get back the freedom, that singing happiness that shot through you for no reason. Just being alive and having all the time in the world. "Sunscreen," Mona called as Katie headed for the back door. "I put it on already." Her mother was like that. You'd think her story was all that mattered, but try and do anything? She tied the strings of Tyler's white sun hat. "Come on, Tyler," she whispered. "Let's get out of this dump." Heat shimmered off the Haywards' garage roof next door. Balancing Tyler on her hip, she blinked in the glare. The hose was like a hot snake. She turned on the outdoor tap and jumped back from the scalding spurt. When it ran cool and delicious, she jammed her thumb across the opening and sprayed the wading pool. The yellow plastic sang as ever-present dust darkened and slid away. As the pool filled, she slipped in with Tyler and held the hose between her toes. It gurgled in a sparkling fountain. Tyler laughed and clapped his pudgy hands. Katie leaned against the plastic rim. "I need you," she sang from her favorite Ozone CD. "It's a kinda special thing, and I love you." In the DVD, she'd practically died at Chase Wilder's intense gray eyes. He was so cool. "Katie?" Her mother was at the back door. "I'm going. Keep an eye on Corey. Have you got your cell phone?" "Yes, Mom." "Anything you say, Mother, see if I care." Corey wouldn't stick around, and she could hardly cart Tyler all over the neighborhood trying to watch her brother. She glanced over at the heap of towels where she'd put her cell. No point in turning it on. Nobody texted or phoned her anymore except Mona, and the rare time when somebody did, it was often an unidentified caller, with the sort of message no girl ever wanted to get. The haunting cry of mourning doves echoed in the hot air. Corey's voice rang down the back lane, followed by yells of other kids. Everybody in the world could tell where Corey Neville was. Maybe she should go back inside for her portable stereo. The gate latch clicked. Feet thudded across the grass. Katie looked up and saw her brother in midair. She yanked Tyler into her lap just before the explosive splash. Katie punched her brother's slick, wet arm and stood up. "What the hell do you think you're doing? You could have hurt him!" "Ow!" Corey's face contorted. "You don't have to hit me!" "You're not bleeding." The heat wrapped around her. Miraculously, Corey was quiet. Then men's voices. Katie stiffened. Two men appeared at the gate with lumber and tools. Except one wasn't a man. It was Lorne MacArthur, from school.
"Is this the Carrington place?" the man called.
Katie nodded, her face flaming. She didn't even have a towel on to cover her flab. Corey darted over to look at the tools.
"I'm Simon MacArthur," the man went on. "We're here to do your deck."
Katie picked Tyler up along with her cell phone and the towels. They'd help cover her stomach. She could feel Lauren's curious gaze. No way was she looking at him, not with her face on fire. But maybe she was the one who ought to stare. Lauren's Asian features were nothing like his father's red-headed complexion. Lauren was slim and small. His father was burly. Maybe his stepfather? "What's this?" Corey was rummaging in the toolbox. "What's the bubble do?" "Corey," Katie warned.
"It's a level," Lauren explained. "The bubble tells you when things are lined up straight."
"Keep out of their way, Corey." Then her baby yanked down the strap of her bathing suit. She wheeled around, only barely stopping herself from slapping him. "Tyler, how could you?"
Why had she ever thought breastfeeding was a good thing? She caught a glimpse of Lauren's face, stained a sudden pink, as she ran inside. She might as well die. At least Lauren wasn't anybody who mattered. Resentful, burning with humiliation, she let her baby nurse. Tyler fell asleep soon afterwards. The landline phone rang once, but it was only her mother's friend Shirley. When Mona returned, Katie made a dash for the door. "I'm going for a bike ride," she said. If Mona didn't like it, tough. And too bad, her cell phone was still on her bed. If Mona didn't like that, so what? Just try and control me all the time. Hot wind gusted into her face, lifting her hair as she pumped along the path that meandered along Wascana Creek. Her bike tires hissed against asphalt. Not many cyclists were out, but grasshoppers were on the path and everywhere else. Who'd you hang out with all summer? Nobody, just my baby and a bunch of grasshoppers. A meadowlark sang from a Russian olive tree as she went by, its black V a vivid contrast to its yellow breast. Katie rode to the end of the bike path and stood there, looking past the outskirts of the city, out across the prairie. The air was thick with dust. The telltale grittiness sent shivers through her teeth. But it was great to be alone. Nobody to make her do things. She pushed her bike through the wild grasses growing along the sluggish creek. Grasshoppers thudded against her bare legs. It was ages since she'd had any space. She'd just sit and watch the sky, listen to the sounds of summer, and not think about diapers and heat rash, teething, pleasing her mother. And Ryan, the awful hurt. A clump of wolf willows beckoned near the water's edge. Katie made her way there and dropped her bike. From here you could almost pretend the city didn't exist. Ignore the youth detention center off to the right. Just the airport fence, a line of power poles marching westward. An industrial building, the windrow and outbuildings of a farm. Halfway to the horizon, a string of stranded railroad cars. Grasshoppers scattered when she sat in the leafy shade. She slipped her sandals off. The earth was rock dry, puckered by a labyrinth of cracks. A metal blue dragonfly hovered nearby. A hot breeze stirred the willow leaves. She slapped a mosquito. In the distance, the city hummed. Gradually, she felt the stillness of the prairie, let it seep in. She lay back, closed her eyes, looked at the orangey glow of her lids. The smell of summer filled her nostrils, scents of weeds and dust and the creek. She stretched backwards, felt the smooth, warm bark of the scrubby bushes, and fell into blackness.